Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina. And I am going to put on my professor cap.
Okay.
For a second.
Professor Connor. Or actually, student Professor Mills.
Professor Mills now. Wow. Yes. Yes.
My student cap is on, Professor.
There we go. So we were talking before we got on the mic and realized that Cassie has not heard of the 4B movement, which I've only heard of from TikTok.
Is this like Wi-Fi? Mm-hmm. I don't know about no 4B. Is that like 4G? Because I don't know.
5G? Exactly. It basically comes through author Cho Nam-joo in her 2016 debut novel. It's basically a movement that started in South Korea where they are so fucking over the misogyny in their culture that they have decided to do no heterosexual marriage, no childbirth, no dating men, and no heterosexual relationships. So, like, nothing. And they all start with B in their language, henceforth the 4B movement. Now, since this started in 2016, there's just an article that came out that there are 150 first grade schools that, like, first grades that are empty. They have dropped the birth rate so precipitously that it's actually an emergency situation.
Right. I mean, and in classic...
Emergency, we need first graders.
Hey, you need... Capitalism needs little bodies, little
means
little
of production.
Workers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and, you know, in classic, you know, patriarchal form, the women are being blamed for this and basically being told to just, like, suck it up and get back into relationships and start having damn babies. Instead of saying, like, hey, why have circumstances in this country been so bad for women for so long that they have decided to take such drastic measures? Maybe men need to change their behavior. Maybe the society that caused
Keegan,
this to happen.
Keegan, that can't be it. That can't be it.
It's got to be the women. It's got to be the ladies. The ladies did this.
It's got to be.
You know what I mean? But it's just like, it's a strike. They've gone on strike. It's a pussy embargo.
Exactly.
That is what's happening.
Well, we've talked about.
Love to see it.
Yeah, we love to see it.
That's right.
But so it's making its way via TikTok over to the U.S. shores. And let me tell you, there are lots of folks that identify as men who are really in their fucking feelings.
Men with microphones have a lot of opinions.
Yes.
I bet they do.
On how.
I bet they
do. This is just more feminism destroying. Our culture,
our families,
our economy. It's women's fault. Like, we're destroying everything instead of it being a reaction to our fucking rights being taken away. And I've said it before. I don't mean to soapbox here, but fucking 50 years ago, we couldn't even have our own fucking credit cards. And now we're the most educated. We are...
Well, which state just passed a six? I think
and
Florida.
Why should we date you?
Florida just passed a six-week abortion
weeks?
Ban.
Fuck you.
And by the way, again, like, there aren't a lot of provisions for extenuating circumstances, like ectopic pregnancy, miscarriage, like, or anything. So it's just like, why would we want to get pregnant? Why would I want to get pregnant if there was a possibility that something could go wrong with my pregnancy?
Yeah, it's
and
a
they
life
would let
you
me die.
Illness.
They would let me die rather than do something.
You
about
heard
it.
The
no.
You heard on Daily Zeitgeist, Keegan, I'm certain, about the new right-wing myth about, like, birth control pills being dangerous. Like, now they're trying to convince women take birth control. I can't remember the guy's name either.
I can't remember his argument either. Because, like, the thing is, of course, like, with any medication, especially medications that, like, have an effect or an impact on your hormones, like, your body might react a specific way to it. Like, I've personally had to go through several different forms of birth control before I found one that I really liked. However, the fear-mongering that is being done...
It's purposeful.
Absolutely.
Because birth
That's
control
exactly right.
gives us
agency.
Power,
yes.
agency, autonomy, allows us to do something with our life besides, you know, just be a stay... Listen, being a stay-at-home mom is fucking awesome if that's what you want to do.
Absolutely.
But this is, I feel like, a reaction or a preemptive... strike on the 4B movement taking control in the U.S. It's like, we gonna make you have babies.
That's right.
And I just...
You can't have birth control.
No.
And you definitely can't have abortions. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, they're going to take our rights away for gay
well,
rights.
But then it's just like if you're going to...
That also precludes and leads to no children.
But
so,
if you're going
in their
to make
minds.
It this difficult for a woman or a person with a uterus to have control over their future in terms of having children, then don't be fucking surprised when they don't want to have sex with you
right.
anymore.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, you always say it because it's the argument that is always, that always comes up, you know, anti-choice people. Well, if you don't have the, if you can't take the responsibility of having a baby, then you just shouldn't have sex. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Right,
great.
Fine.
Great. Vibrators
the
exist.
Problem is,
like,
the problem is that, you know, content warning here, but marital rape was just, I mean, yeah. has only just been illegal in, you know, some states very recently.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and I have heard that argument as well, because whenever people have brought this up in the past that like, well, we should just boycott having sex with men, that the fear is, and this is shitty that this is the world that we live in, but that the fear is that sexual assaults and rapes will go up.
Because I'm not precluding that is what I think will happen. What I'm saying, though, is that we are dealing with a country that has just now even thought of that existence.
Yeah.
And, like,
and
that
Brock
that's
Turner
a bad thing.
Is still,
yeah.
you know, out there.
I mean, if they don't make, if they, I'm just talking about all the things that they're going to try to make legal again or illegal
well,
for women. All these
to,
rights to protect
to take
women
no
are going away.
Divorce away. They're already trying to take
exactly.
no fault divorce away, which yeah. is like really, really fucking scary
yeah.
to not just be able to say, I'm leaving this relationship because I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. That's a valid reason to leave a relationship.
So I've been listening to, and I know I told you guys about it when I read the book a while ago. I know I've talked about The Five by...
I read that too. Haley Rubin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There's a podcast that Pushkin Industries did called Bad Women. And so I'm listening through, and she is the host of
oh,
it
amazing.
And basically goes through great podcast. So it's nice to be able to revisit a book that I loved now in a podcast form.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about it before, but just for the listener, The Five is a book. It's a nonfiction book with kind of like maybe some elements in it, but it is a nonfiction book basically talking about the five confirmed victims of Jack the Ripper and like what their actual lives were like, because mm-hmm. for so long there was this narrative that, you know, in some way, just based on the way that it was reported, that they yeah. almost deserved what happened to them because of the lives that they led, that they were, you know, sex workers or drinkers or, you know, unhoused people. So, yeah.
Yeah. But it goes into detail, basically, the restrictions that women had no agency, had no power. Mm-hmm. And so what situations a lot of Victorian women were forced into because they didn't have the agency
yes.
that we have
yeah.
today.
Fascinating
it's
book.
Just
yeah.
very relevant. You can see like what these little wins throughout the years have been able to give us.
Yeah.
And it's a fear listening to that. It's like, wow, we're only about 3 or 4 laws away from being mm-hmm. right back there.
Yeah.
Right back into Victorian society. It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Not to fear everybody.
no, but it's something to be aware of. Like this isn't
absolutely.
To, you know, fear monger or like make people like panic or anything like that. But it is just something that's like these little things that you think maybe don't affect you because it's happening in another state or because you don't ever, you know, you don't have a uterus. So what does it matter to you? Like all of these little things lead up to something bigger. They always do. And they always trickle down to you. Like they will always trickle down to you. Mm-hmm. So we got to be fighting for everybody's rights because
yeah.
as soon as we start letting some people lose their rights, I guarantee they're coming for yours next. So
yeah.
just
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. But all the power to the wow. women in South Korea.
Yeah. We stand with you.
Yeah.
Truly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I admire their like tenacity,
like,
their fortitude.
We're not having anything to
I
do.
Love this
fuck
them
kids.
Them.
So there you go.
Yeah. It is funny though, because I was actually talking today to someone about how like I'm just like, gosh, if anything ever happened to my husband, I just not interested.
Dude,
not interested at all.
T-Con went on a date a while ago. It was the second date. First date was great. Movie and dinner. She had a great time. Second date, she let him pick her up at the house. And so he like got to see her new house and everything. And they went out to eat or whatever. And he's just, second date, mind you. He's like, oh, when I move in, we'll change this and this.
No, we won't.
And she's like, ma'am. I'm sorry, what? That's not going to happen.
Twofold in that one sentence. One, don't be presuming you're going to move in. This is our second date. Two, if you do move in, this is my fucking house. Nothing in here is getting changed unless it is discussed.
Right.
What do you mean? We'll change this. You're going to make decisions about what gets changed in my house.
And so she stands up for herself or whatever. And he's like, oh, but I love you. And I'm talking to my mom. And she's not having anything of it. She's like, this is our second date. And I'm like, I'm so proud of her. For
cheers
just
to T-Con.
I know. Yeah, yes. I'm cheering her on.
She's come a long way.
Yes. Where she's like, that is just, that's too weird. But she's like, all these men who are my age are looking for somebody who's got their shit together.
To take care of them.
Just come in and take care of them. She's like, I don't want to take care of some old man.
We got to start forcing men to take care of themselves. Because this is what happens. I think there's an entire, like your mom's age.
Yeah.
That whole generation of men. We're just conditioned to believe that they would be taken care of. They probably got married young, like moved out from, you know, one mama to another and had somebody cooking and cleaning and, you know, providing for them. And then whatever happens, their wife gets fed up and asks for a divorce 40 years into their relationship, or that their partner dies or something. And then they just are like helpless little, you know, 60-year-old babies.
Yeah. And that's so gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I really feel, and I think Chris too, Chris's dad has been a Lone Ranger for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's kind of been, I mean, his brother really has been stepping in and helping out, but he hasn't like, you know, gone on the run. But I will tell you, and this could be like for my dad, he's technically, silent generation. Mm-hmm. And so I think I look at him and I'm like, he might be the last of that kind because he's not like that. My mom goes trips. She'll take, and he just take care of himself. He just, you know, cooks, he knows how to do all his shit. He can take care of himself. He can cook his own meals. He can, he doesn't even think twice if she wants to take a 3 week, well, I week think trip with her best friend to
there's
Europe.
There's exceptions,
you know what I mean?
To every rule. Like, you know, like there's exceptions to every rule.
He's not a boomer.
Well, I mean, but even then, like, I don't know, I guess I can't speak to silent generation as much, but like my grandpa definitely relied on my grandma. He cooked a lot, and absolutely he could take care of himself, and he did when my grandma died, you know, but did he rely on her for a whole lot throughout their marriage? Like a ton, you know, and she definitely did all of the traditional quote unquote wife things, you know, that were expected of people of that generation. But I mean, there are men even today, we talk about them all the time. They come up in stories that are, you know, millennials, Gen Zers even, who are helpless.
Yeah. You know? And it's like, why it's life is hard enough. And it is so much easier to just take care of yourself than it is to be in a relationship where you're having to do a ton more labor, be it emotional, be it actual like household, all of it. When you're having to carry an outsized amount of that labor day in and day out, it's fucking exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that song on TikTok.
The labor song.
Labor.
Yeah.
Paloma
something. Ooh. But yeah, look that up. It's called Labor.
So
it's Paloma something. It's great. I mean, and it's very like to the point, like we have been conditioned for a long time. And that's the thing I wish, and a lot of men do get this hashtag, not all men. Right. But like, I wish men did understand this. Like women have been conditioned. So even if you're saying like, well, this is something you're choosing to do, we're not asking you to do this. We have been societally conditioned to be caretakers and to be everything to everyone. Like you want us to be your, your sexual partner, but you also kind of want us to be your mommy, and you also kind of want us to, like, we have to take care of you when you're sick and also take care of the kids when they're sick. And now we also have to go to work and bring in an income, and we also have to this, and we also have to take care of ourselves and our own mental health and everything else, like, you know, and those expectations, if you do those things in your relationship, wonderful. But those expectations societally have not been placed on you from the beginning of time. So it is different. Right. You had a choice. You made a choice, right? Which we, of course, we have a choice too, but it doesn't feel like it when you're raised in a society that tells you this is the expectation, you know?
Oof.
Yeah. I just had to get that off my chest.
Wow. I mean, we had a real, I feel like a real NPR opening. Very counter to last week, I feel like.
Happy birthday to me, because this is the this episode comes out on my birthday, and it feels right for this to be the Aries discussion of the day.
Right, raging against strong, the machine.
A very strong rage against the machine vibe. Exactly. I love it.
I think we should do, since we just kind of railed on men for a little while.
Right.
I think we should pick. I think we got to do it for the ladies.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
I think this is the one.
Yeah,
we gotta
lady
FMK. Gosh, wow. I need more parameters to be fair.
Instead of just women, I would say, like, strong, powerful women. FMK, some real powerhouses,
boss bitches.
Okay,
boss babe. Not that.
No. Girl boss. Okay.
No hey huns over girl here. Boss. No. Okay, interesting.
I was gonna say AOC, but I respect her too much. I can't.
Oh, we can't put her in that position. Yeah. Also, with politicians. Living politicians, I'm always like, I get nervous.
I know this is terrible. Oh, maybe I'll save it for off mic, and maybe Thomas cut this out, but I do need to say, there's something so cunty about George Santos that I so want to know him.
He's like a real housewife.
Are terrible, but he is such a messy cunt.
Yeah, I'm like, he's built for reality TV. Like, he really is. Like, what a piece of shit. Truly. Like, what truly a piece of shit grifter. I think we can leave that in. I think that's funny. Like, what a piece of shit grifter. Truly.
Truly.
But
he does belong on Real Housewives of something.
Somebody call Andy Cohen.
He doesn't belong in the house, but he does belong on Bravo, baby.
Because, we are not.
Somebody's friend.
I've told you guys, like, I went through my 10 season Vanderpump Rules journey to get to Scandoval. Worth it? ? Not sure. But, like, however, those people, worst people of all time, that's what makes for reality television. George Santos would thrive on reality. Him and Omarosa thriving on reality TV together. Women, powerful, right. Women.
Strong.
Not like George Santos.
I'm going to pick Lady Aries, Queen Aries, Lady Gaga.
Okay. Ooh, you know what? I was just going to say, in honor of Cowboy Carter, who's more powerful than Beyonce?
Well, okay, I'm going to pick...
It's true. Good call.
I'm going to pick Meryl Streep.
Ooh, great one.
I feel like Meryl Streep has powerful lady
vibes. Thousand.
Top of her game.
I love Meryl Streep.
Me too. Yeah. Okay.
I think this is a fuck, marry, friend, obviously.
Yes. Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah,
Couldn't do that to our ladies.
Do you know what? I secretly want somebody to write a fanfic erotica novel about Beyonce and her bodyguard Julius.
Oh, what's this about?
Julius? Oh my god,
I have not. But you know what? I have listened to Cowboy Carter, and I'm living for all of the TikToks about Jolene, because. Yes. Beyonce's version of Jolene is basically like, keep your hands off my man. I know you. I see why you would want my man, blah, blah, blah. And then people just like stitch them in with the dorkiest pictures of Jay-Z, where it's just like him on a jet ski with a helmet on. They're like, this your man? This is the man everybody's trying to steal? All right.
Okay, hands up.
So I have not seen Julius, but I am team Beyonce. Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I know what I'm gonna do.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna do. I'm gonna. God, I'm gonna fuck Lady Gaga. I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one I know. Because come on, like we can't get married.
No,
oh, no.
Aries.
We've done Lady Gaga before, and we had the same conclusion then. Like she's she has a very, and we talked about this last week, I think, about Aries energies, where there's like fun Aries, and then there's like very intense Aries. She has very intense Aries energy.
I feel like she could vary between both. I'm just afraid that we'd both be intense on the same day, and that makes me really nervous. And so I think we fuck.
Yeah.
And that's great. Mm-hmm. And then we move on. And then I think I'm going to marry Meryl Streep.
Dude, yeah, I'm marrying.
It's really tough. Yes.
I'm marrying Meryl Streep.
Me too. Marry.
Like, coastal grandma life. For yes. life. Like that soft sounds life. Fucking great. Like you're just wearing a cozy sweater and you're walking barefoot on the beach in fine linens. I like love it.
But Beyonce as a friend.
So much. But boy,
I want her to be my friend.
I feel so lazy. Well, she's a Virgo. Around her. Oh. She is a go-getter. Yeah. And I want a soft life. So
yeah, agree. And yeah. I don't think you're getting
I want
a
her
soft
as my
life.
Friend.
You're not getting a soft life with Beyonce or Lady Gaga.
No.
That is not a soft life.
No.
It's a
no,
fun
not
life.
Comfy.
Yes.
But it is not.
But it ain't comfy. No.
Working.
You're not cozy.
Very hard all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get a nice glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know Meryl's
She's the
sign?
Kind of person too. Meryl is going to put an ice cube in it if you want to.
Oh,
she's just
yeah.
That cool.
And she's so chill about it too. Mm-hmm. She's not going to make you feel yeah. stupid or bad
oh, hell
about
no.
it. If you want your red
if
wine
you
chill, she
do
doesn't
it.
Care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't so, care.
I saw a TikTok of somebody whose mom used to drink like Franzia. And she was oh. like, she would, the box wine. So she'd be like, oh, I could steal a little and she would never know. So when she was finally old enough to order in a fucking like restaurant or something, she's like, I want a
oh,
glass
no.
of your chilable.
Yeah. Chilable.
And she thought she was being so fancy. And the server's like, Chablis? And
baby,
she's like, I guess so. You... And then she shows a picture of the
oh,
Franzi.
Babe.
It was chillable oh,
no.
red.
No. And look, oh, look, I'm going to go on
chalupa.
I'm going to go on fucking record right now and say and oh, no. say that Francia's chillable red, I'm fucking down. I've had it and it is oh, delicious.
Chalable though. Oh my god. Just
but
fucking girl, killed me.
You doubled down with a photo.
She's
what
like,
were you doing?
She's like, this is the wine I like. Because she's like, I just drank the Chablis and it was fine or whatever. But
oh my God. I love that. You know, that's the thing also, as a reader, like, right, as someone who grew up reading a lot, mm-hmm. there are some, in, especially in the time before you could just like Google something and hit the little audio and figure out how it's pronounced. Like there were words that I swear to God, I thought were pronounced completely differently.
Oh, quinoa. Yeah,
forever.
For sure.
Like forever. Yeah. And actually Chablis was one because I read Midnight
Chapless?
In the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a character in that, you know, actually a real life person in that book whose name is, who goes by Chablis.
Yeah.
And I Chablis the whole time. Like I was like,
the whole time.
I didn't
how
know.
Did you say
I read
Hermione
it when I was like
head.
10, you know?
I how did you say Hermione in your
you
head?
You know,
because
I don't even
I
remember
I did not
now.
Say Hermione.
I don't
know. I know it wasn't.
Lord.
I was like Herminoy. I swear to you, I was like, it was never Hermione. And then when I heard it, I was like, oh, that's much nicer.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right.
Much
you're
nicer.
Like, that's actually kind of a pretty name. Oh, you hear about that. Well, do you want to know, because we know that obviously Lady Gaga is Queen Aries, and I would actually mm-hmm. say Beyonce is
Queen
Virgo,
Virgo
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Obviously. Do you want to uh-huh. know what Meryl is?
I do.
Any
do.
Guesses? Or just want to tell you?
Aquarius. That's my guess.
Oh, I could see Aquarius.
Cancer.
Yeah. Oh.
She's a Cancer.
Okay.
But you know what? Right. Like, I'm friends with a lot of Cancers. Water sign. So it is a bit of a toss up. However, she seems like a very, and again, one, I am friends with a lot of Cancers and we get along well. And two, she seems like a balanced mm-hmm. Cancer mm-hmm. as well. Like, you know, so I'm getting good. I'm going to stick with marrying Meryl.
Me too.
Like that is a nice soft, again, I feel like we're going to have like a white house with a nice porch. near a body of water. And that sounds lovely to me. A lot of shells as decor, and I'm not even mad about it. You know,
help read like incredible scripts.
Oh yeah,
a lot of chablablés,
a lot of bread, a lot of chalable. Yes,
yeah, I love it. I feel like really when you're with Meryl, it's going to be like really high quality sheets.
Yeah,
you know, and that sounds nice.
They're going to be those kind of sheets that when you get in, they're just a little chilled.
Oh,
they're crisp.
They're
a little
so
chilled.
Soft. Also, she doesn't fuck around with bad mattresses either. Like, you know that she is getting like...
Not even in her guest room. Okay.
Cozy.
Come on.
Like it just feels like it's going to be cozy. She seems
it's a pillow top.
I've also seen her at enough Golden Globes where I'm just like, you are willing to get a little bit messy and take your shoes off, and we're going to be hanging out with like kind of drunk Helen Mirren and Olivia Colman.
I mean, come on.
Amazing.
This is amazing.
This is the best life.
This is dream come true. Olivia Colman.
I love her.
Yeah, and they're getting just like a little toasted. I fucking love it. This sounds so good. As far as I could go either way, I don't think there's a wrong answer in terms of like... you're going to get two different sex experiences with Beyonce and Lady Gaga.
Truly.
I am sorry. Every time her dance break for Everybody Mad comes on TikTok, I stop everything. I watch it at least twice. It is the hottest thing I've ever seen. And I love it. I'm fucking Beyonce.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to fuck Beyonce too because I've heard enough like, what is that one? Partition?
Oh.
Like I've heard enough of her shit where I'm just like, she's a freak. Actually,
like
Lady Gaga's also a freak, but in a different way. Where like Beyonce's gonna get dirty in like a really like '90s R&B way. Mm-hmm. That's like,
I'm just curious that you're gonna end up friending
Gaga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I could be Gaga. I think being Gaga's
friend. You guys
friend
want an Aries as a friend?
We got one. Yeah. So, you know,
we might not be able to. We might not be able to hang out with both of you at the same time. That might be.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have to do some scheduling, but that'd be too much trouble.
Yeah, you guys are gonna get us arrested for sure.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'd be friends with Lady Gaga.
Seriously.
I want to go shopping with Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is gonna gas me up in the most wild. She's gonna put me in like sequins and like feathers, and she's gonna make me feel really hot about it. And I like that for me.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
I love this.
Yeah.
Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Yes.
Sounds good.
And we're back. All right, Cass, kick us off with stories.
Okay. So, starts out, had a pretty good first date with a really cute woman my friend set me up with. Punching above my weight, so I was on my game.
At least you know.
Yeah, yeah. Love a self-aware king.
Yep.
Exactly. Second date. Not so much. We went to a ramen restaurant that featured, quote, smart cocktails. I ordered one with yohimbe root and various other stimulants. This turned out to be a bad idea as I had interacted with the Adderall I had recently started taking for my ADHD.
I feel like they got to give you a warning on that. They got to. Like whoever is tending bar needs to be like, are you on anything that could have like a reaction?
I don't think you can. Are you even allowed to ask that? I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to serve things that could potentially interact poorly with people's medications, especially Adderall is not like a
pretty
weird
common drug.
Yeah.
No.
For someone to be on.
I began sweating profusely and getting heart palpitations.
Oh, baby.
Oh, no.
I had to come clean and tell her about my recent ADHD diagnosis and prescriptions. Usually more of a fifth date revelation.
That's so common. I feel like ADHD and being on Adderall is not something that you should be like ashamed of or worried to tell somebody.
Nope. But okay. So, I mean, good conversation. That it is very common. And these days, a lot of people take medications for all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But is that second date fodder, or is it like he says here, like fifth date conversation?
I think if it came up, like if you're talking about it just nonstop or you won't stop bringing it up, then that's something different. But I mean, I don't think that I would have any problem even on a first date if the conversation was flowing and that's the direction it went in.
Right.
I don't think I would have a problem being like, oh yeah, like I have ADHD. And if, you know, like if it came up naturally, I don't think it's something that I would feel like needed to be withheld. Like, it's not crazy, you know?
I'll go a step further.
That's true.
I would say that's a green flag for me if I were to hear about that, because it tells me that you had to, you had an issue. Mm-hmm. You went and were proactive about seeking treatment, and you know, like, there's a lot of people that you have to drag kicking and screaming to the doctor, you know, if something's wrong, but this person actually went and was like, I have something, like, went through the process of getting it diagnosed and then seeking treatment. I'm thumbs
set
up
set up a doctor's appointment by himself.
Amazing.
A man? What?
Yeah.
Green light.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, that is how I feel about it. At the same time, everybody's own relationship with their mental health is, like, their own. And if they're uncomfortable bringing it up until they know someone better, then that's fine.
Yep.
But I also don't think you should feel ashamed in a situation like this where it feels like now you need to bring it up.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. No. Like, you know, shit happens. You didn't know.
So he says, I self-medicated with a couple double bourbons.
Oh, baby. Leading-
Oh, yikes.
I guess probably if you're like super heart racing, high.
Calm down.
Bourbon.
Yeah. We got to do that.
I think I can kind of see it. I'm like, also too, I'm like, I don't know if I'm in a place where I'm ready to self-medicate.
Yeah. Like water on the
water,
rocks.
Water and let me go lay down somewhere.
Water on the rocks.
Like two double bourbons. So you're like four shots of bourbon.
On some heart palpitations.
The anxiety that I am already feeling, thinking about that.
I'm like sweating thinking about
my anxiety would go through the roof if that was me. I couldn't be me, man. Mm-mm. I need to come down from whatever they put in my first drink.
This led to her having to drive me home and have her take a cab to her place. Fortunately for me, the next date she went on was an old high school classmate who had become ultra religious. So she decided to give me another chance.
She's like, by comparison, like,
actually, went great.
That wasn't so bad. She got some perspective.
Yeah. She's like, anyway, our eldest son just started driving.
Oh,
you know, I love those.
I know you do. You really do. Like, that's sweet.
Oh, man. I feel bad for that poor girl. She went out with one guy who's just like, got messy, and she went out with the next guy who was like super religious. She's just like,
Handmaid's Tale.
Forget it.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? God.
Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Literally.
Yep.
Whew. All right. Let me hop into mine. She says, I doubt this guy will ever see this and think it was me, but here we go. It's a long one. For context, I had gotten very drunk the Friday night at my friend's leaving due, got home at 11, FaceTimed the guy till 5 in the morning, and had 1 hour sleep till I had to go to work for 8 a.m. So I think I was still slightly drunk or definitely hungover.
And also sleep deprived.
Yes.
Like, don't underestimate how slapsticky you can get.
Yeah.
Even if you're not drunk anymore, if you've only had 1 hour of sleep, your body is like hanging on
by a thread.
Right.
Listen,
by a very thin thread. Yeah.
So we went to the like podcast movement last week, and we were up late cavorting or whatever. But there were like a couple nights in a row where I'd gotten about 5 hours sleep. Wrecked.
Dude, I mean, look,
body
hurting. I can function on like 4 hours. But I do know, like, my brain goes into...
I cannot.
You know how your laptop goes into, like, energy-saving mode?
Yes.
And it's running on, like, half energy? Mm-hmm. That is what happens to my brain. Like, it's just like, don't even try.
Yep.
Don't try and solve anything complex right now.
Yeah.
You just have to accept that your workday, you're going to be functioning on, like, half.
Yeah, we're talking, like, Wordle and five. You know what I mean? Like,
if not six, I mean, you're,
I know,
like,
seriously.
forget doing the mini crossword.
No,
not happening
not,
for
not
you.
Happening.
Just don't even attempt it at this point.
And for the love of God, don't open connections. Like, ever.
Girl, because Christina and I had talked about connections, because she's on Connections TikTok, because things just get wild.
I don't even know what this is.
So Connections is another New York Times game where, like, they give you, what is it, like 20 words?
Yeah.
And, like, you have to find four different categories. You have to find the connections between them. And
oh my God, it's
really,
the game show we were on.
And it is wild.
I enjoy Connections, but sometimes it is the most tenuous connection in the world. And you're like, this isn't right.
A lot of birds.
I almost texted you, Christina, because the other day I was like, what the fuck is this shit? I opened connections and it was all emojis.
That was their April 1st, April Fool's. You, it was just emojis.
How dare them do that to us? Yeah. Like, really? Wow.
Ew.
Yeah. All right. A love Wordle talk. So if anyone ever wants to talk Wordle with me, I'm definitely
it's our new segment.
The other day it was Sally and I thought I was going to throw my fucking phone.
I was so pissed.
Yeah.
I honestly fucking how dare
not
you.
Not a word.
What the fuck?
That's not a
That's
word.
That's not Sally Forth.
Ugh. Whatever.
But, I mean,
it's
you wouldn't
name.
Think about it, but.
No.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
It's completely bullshit. I was very angry all day. I almost take it a little bit more seriously than like a horoscope now. I'm just like,
this is how my day is going
to
be.
If I get a Wordle in two, you cannot fucking speak to me at all.
No, can't touch me.
I am like on cloud nine. Three and four, I'm like, this is going to be a good day. Five, I'm like,
normal day.
I better really be on my game today. Things are a little off. Six, oof.
And if you don't get it at all, I didn't get it on
Take
Sally.
The day off.
I didn't get it on Sally. Because,
take the day off. Exactly.
Truly.
Sally.
Rude.
Such bullshit.
Truly.
Anyway.
So she says, we had planned on going for some food, so I never ate anything. Again, very hungover, so should have lined my stomach. But as soon as we got to town, he had said that his grandma made him food, so he didn't need anything. So I just went along with it because I don't like causing a big fuss.
Mm, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is...
She's from the Midwest.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's from maybe the UK or something. She said it was a leaving due, which sounds very UK in my brain.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
So we went for drinks. Had a few cocktails here and there. And he nearly started a fight with someone he thought was insulting him. and then got to our Wetherspoons. We sat down on a table and chair, and I bought us
Wait, time out.
What is a Wetherspoon?
I'm sorry, what?
I think a Wetherspoons is like maybe a pub
a
or something.
Oh, okay.
A place is what I'm getting.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But all right, so just to recap, because we did go on a New York Times games tangent there for a second. She went out the night before, got fucking trashed, woke up still drunk, definitely sleep deprived on 1 hour of sleep.
Oof.
And then didn't eat all day.
Correct.
And then is about to start drinking or is drinking again.
Yes.
With no food.
With no food.
Cool. At Wetherspoons.
At Wetherspoons.
And 1 hour of sleep.
Okay. Yep. Things are going to go so well with that.
Great.
Yep. We sat down on a table and chair and I bought us two large pitchers and he dared me to chug it down and see who could drink it the fastest.
I'm politely declining.
No.
No.
Actually, no.
I'm not doing that.
Actually.
Also, how old are
they?
Like, at my big old age, I'm not chugging a pitcher of anything.
Big old age.
Stop it.
Nah.
No.
I'm too grown.
I can't imagine. Oh my God. I'm so old. I'm so old.
However, if it is a competition.
And that's right. The three of us. The person who'd be most likely would be Cassie.
Yeah, you'd be like, all right.
All they'd have to say to you, Cassie, is like, bet you can't do it.
Race you. Race you. I'll race you. No, bet you I can't. Bet you can't. Nah, fuck you. No, you're right. I can't. If I don't want to, I ain't gonna. But if you're gonna race me.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Danger. Danger. Danger.
Danger. So I did. I must have gotten so drunk. I don't remember what led to the next part happening.
Oh, no.
But I hysterically cried to him about how I had been treated by past relationships in the middle of this pub.
No. Babe, that is that's something I would do. I'm not even lying. Like, that is something that would happen to me. If I was in this
so
situation.
Drunk, so tired.
So tired. So hungry.
Here come the water.
Oh, my God. 100%.
Oh, no.
100.
We're past, like, fun drunk.
No.
We're past love drunk.
No.
We're
drunk,
at sad.
We are breaking down right now. Like, your body is like, get in bed ASAP and get some fucking water in you right now.
I have been I have been sad drunk before.
We've all been sad drunk before.
Oh my God.
And this is the perfect recipe for that. Like, there's a lot of things that happen in these stories where I'm like, no, like, wouldn't be me. this I could see being me, and it would fill me with the deepest shame.
Shame.
When you wake up the next day and you have that anxiety too, yes. like you are already anxious.
I was crying at a local pub.
To someone I don't know that well.
Jesus Christ.
About all my trauma. Stop.
Trauma dumping?
I just trauma dumped on you.
Ooh, yeah. Big old steaming dump.
Actually, if he called me after that, I'd be like, have some self-respect.
Yeah,
actually, I can't see anybody with
actually, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, like now I'm worried.
Yeah, about you.
No, yeah. I can't date somebody with this poor self-respect.
Yeah,
crying in the middle of the pub, where other people were, where my ex was with his brother. Keegan had a heart attack.
I'm
right
moving.
Now.
You're
moving.
Like,
yeah,
that I is. Oh my God. It was bad enough already. Like I was already like, oh, the anxiety that you're going to feel to find out Mm-mm. that your ex is with his Mm-mm. brother. Mm-mm. So the two of them are over there just like
crying.
Feeling vindicated.
Crying in a bar.
And you're talking about maybe him because you're talking about previous relationships. Like I
want to peel my skin off.
Would
I hate it?
Die. I would never recover. No. I would never emotionally
recover.
I would recover.
Dream about this in my 90s.
Every day.
Yes. Yep.
In the shower, just
wow.
like,
wow. Yeah. That's horrible.
Oh my God. Somehow this didn't faze the guy, and he took me half asleep and extremely drunk to Nando's, and we sat down and he ordered for me. This Nando's definitely sobered me up a bit at this point. So we went to another pub. Where he bought us Jaeger bombs.
Stop it. Sure. I was like, look, I was about to give this man the benefit of the doubt. Like I was like, oh, he just recognized.
I had to speed through.
He recognized that she needed food and he was like trying to like be like, oh, okay. Like that's the situation.
Look, it's a Waffle House.
First of all, you're done drinking. Mm-hmm. You're done. You're plenty. Mm-mm. Enough.
And but then there's drinking and then there's Jaeger bombs.
Like, you are done drinking, period. Jaeger bombs are the worst decision outside of absinthe you could possibly have made.
Yeah, honestly.
What is wrong
with
you?
You don't have your eyes open at this point.
Yeah.
If you've cried, you're drunk,
swollen, your face is swollen.
Your eyes are so swollen.
Your mascara is just running down your cheeks at this point.
Oh, mascara?
No.
Yeah. No, your eyes are so swollen shut. Then you're going to, like, halfway see through a meal. And then Jaeger bombs?
Yep.
You're actually
that
blind.
That is irresponsible
now.
Of that man to have given her Jaeger bombs at this point. Like, that is the worst. I don't want to take
I
those.
I actually feel like this should be, like, written into our criminal code. It feels like a crime.
It is. That is not cool, dude. Yeah. Not cool, bro, at all. Like, I don't really want to take Jaeger bombs when I'm sober.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I'm taking it, listen, if we are out together and you catch me at the bar, and I'm taking Jaeger bombs. You're done. You're done.
I called the lift.
Yeah, it's your car's here.
Yes, exactly.
No,
like, we're out.
No, I got this.
No, I've got Taco Bell pulled up. We're gonna make everything okay. Get you some cheesy potatoes,
a nice fluffy blanket,
really, really tight,
just
really
tight, like a
snug as a bug. Yeah,
never ends well. So I went into the toilets and projectile vomited all over.
Also, I don't want Jaeger bombs coming back up.
No.
You get that like anise flavor on the way back up.
I don't want them going down or up.
No.
Don't get it. I'm out.
Nope.
A lot.
I feel like it has an age restriction, but in the opposite way. Like Jaeger.
Like you gotta be like, you gotta be like 20. 19 to 21.
Like really like
to
after,
22. Right?
After 24,
real tight when
it's like. Oof.
Right. By the time you hit 25, I think that's the absolute limit. Like it's just like, all right. Like in your, cause you're officially in your mid 20s at that point, and it's like, you can't do Jaeger bombs anymore.
Yeah.
Like grow up, have a tequila shot. Like an adult.
Have a tequila shot.
Be an adult. Do tequila. Oh my God.
That's the name of this episode.
Be an adult.
Grow up. Drink tequila.
Grow up. Drink tequila. You got it.
Lord. Okay.
So she vomited all over. And to top it all off, I actually told him, and I have no clue why. It could have been my secret forever. Jesus. She says, I ended up going home with him, rookie mistake, and gave my friend 30 pounds of hush money for picking me up. Me and the guy still spoke for another 2 weeks after this until he ghosted me.
Well, I hope he didn't sleep with her that night, because I feel like that would be really irresponsible.
Yeah.
And it would make me really question his motives for taking her back and getting her more booze.
Yes.
Because she did not need to be drinking anymore.
Suppose he won't ever forget our date, but I hope he does, because I'm constantly burdened by the thought of me crying in the pub to him whenever I'm in my local Weatherspoons.
I know you are, girl. I know you are. I know that that wakes you up in the middle of the night. Mm. Same for me. Would do the same for me. Completely understand. Wow.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay. Well, I have a high school story for you.
Okay.
All right. When my first girlfriend broke up with me in high school, I was quite the quote unquote nice guy then, and it came unexpectedly near my birthday. I didn't exactly get the hint and continued trying to tell her about the good times we had on MSN/email for about 3 days, to the point that she had to block me.
Ooh, blocked on MSN.
She ended the conversation with, "People come and go, get over it." And I spent the next 2 days. This is the most high school thing. I need to know this. I need to know this man sign. I bet he's a water sign. I spent the next 2 days reading our old MSN conversations from happier times while sobbing to myself,
searching
for one particular conversation where she had told me she'd always talk to me no matter what.
Oh,
wow.
That's so specific.
It's a cancer, man.
Right.
I was, it's giving cancer. It's giving water sign man for sure.
Yeah. As a water sign, I co-sign.
Searching for that one specific conversation. Mm-hmm. Dude,
almost feel Scorpio, if I'm honest.
What is it about when you hurt and when you cry that sometimes you seek out things to make you cry harder?
Yes. Yeah.
That, because you want to try to get it all out at once, right? I think that's it.
That
for
must
me,
be
I'm
it.
Like, I just want to get all
you
of it out.
You just lean into that sadness sometimes. That's what Lana Del Rey is for, you know? Like, that's what that's for, you know? But this is absolutely something that high school me would have done. Like, you're just sadly, probably you have sad music on. You got Bright Eyes playing in the background while you sadly scroll.
Did you steal off of LimeWire?
Truly.
Alanis Morissette, obviously.
For me, it was, I think Bright Eyes was my crying
Fiona album. Apple.
Yeah.
Title.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep.
You were just sadly scrolling on MSN, looking for a specific conversation, thinking about the good times. Oh my God.
Watch what you say to me. Careful who you're talking to.
This is old school, because now I feel like kids, you know, you're going through your Snapchat or you're going through Instagram. This is lovely to be going through MSN.
You have to be
chat.
At a computer. You know, you're not just laying and crying in your bed, letting the tears soak in your pillow.
Your computer is like in a like family room or something.
But you know it is. At this time period, when you're on MSN and you're in high school, you don't have your own computer in your room.
No.
You are in a family room crying publicly.
Yep.
Your mom's like,
mom's washing the dishes. Like,
or that room
geez.
That you should have been a dining room, but really wasn't.
Yes.
It just became a computer room.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yep. God, wow. Yep. We all lived the same life. But the definitive cringe moment of my life came when I followed up my MSN obsessiveness by randomly breaking down and crying while watching a movie in history class the next day.
Oh, God. No.
Dude, what is it with
at
public
school.
Crying that just,
in high school.
What were you watching?
Oh, God.
Like, what okay,
were
so
you
hold on.
Watching?
I don't know. Remember the Titans? No.
No.
A movie in history class the next day, and then walking with her down the hallway in school and continually bawling. He's following her down the hallway crying.
No.
Until one of her friends dragged me off to the side. She, on the other hand, was quite detached from all this. Her reason for breaking up with me was that I was too clingy.
You don't say.
She broke up with him because he's too clingy, and he is
following her
crying
in high school.
In high school.
Shoot me.
I followed that.
On both ends of that.
Truly.
Like, honestly, I don't want to be that girl, and I do not want to be that guy.
No.
Dude, if I was that guy, I'm like, you, again, this is one of those things where I'm like, you would not be able to waterboard this information out of me.
No.
Nope.
like just Mm-mm. I mean, you have to switch schools. Like, you will never not be that guy now.
The crying
like,
guy.
The guy who was following
who's
his girlfriend.
Now homeschooled.
Like yes.
Everybody's like, oh, you remember that crying guy who's homeschooled now?
It gets worse. I followed that
how?
With more MSN conversations/emails professing my love, including one that told her that I saw her mom and sister walking and now and how much I miss her stories about them.
Wow.
Let's just say I've grown a lot since then.
Called the police.
Funny to
She's
look back on now, though. Yeah.
I mean, hope you've learned. Listen, we all go
through.
We've
all been embarrassing.
We've all been embarrassing.
Especially
sure.
in high school. I definitely got too attached in mm-hmm. high school and did things that were embarrassing. Yeah. Actually, probably mine were like physical notes that I wrote, oof. You know, and like passed in class, yeah. like put in their locker or something. So look, we've all been there. My only thing is when you come out on the other side of it, you still have to go to that school. Like, yep. you still have to see those people. Yeah. Like, that is how... And high school is brutal.
Dude. It was like that story you read last week, Cassie, where you were talking about the rope swing in front of, like, 30 high schoolers. I'm like, could not
no,
be
that
me.
Story.
High schoolers are...
Mean.
Terrifying.
Yes.
Fucking titties all out. No.
No. Yeah. Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that was brutal. Well, on that note,
oh, let's take five, and then we'll come back with the tainted love.
Okay.
And we're back, and I have the tainted love for us today. I have one that I have never heard of before.
Okay.
I was surprised, and it takes place in like the '80s, like late '80s. So,
San Pellegrino. So no. Just, San yeah. Junipero vibes.
San
I was like, San Pellegrino. What? Yes, it's got a very bubbly water feel to mm-hmm. it.
man.
All right. So it's November 9th, 1989. 911 gets a call from Dino Paspalakis. First of all, I got to be honest with you, 1989, I don't know why I didn't think that 911 existed yet, but apparently
Girl.
It did.
Not that long ago. Like
I know it existed then because me and my cousins at my grandma's house one time thought it'd be fun to call and
I
hang
did
up
it.
A bunch of times.
Dude, girl, and did you get in trouble? I
yes.
did. Because this was, I feel like, again, we're all living the same life. And this is something that today's youth... will not understand. You cannot understand if you are, you know, younger Gen Z and later how bored we were.
Yeah.
Like you truly don't know. We did the same thing where we called 911 for fun.
Yeah.
Which is so horrific. And they did find my parents.
Yeah.
And they were like,
of course.
They showed up at my grandma's house. We
yeah.
got
yes.
in such trouble.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. yeah. It's not fun.
Question. Did you ever on a payphone call 1-900 numbers? Just
I didn't, but you know
not
who
like
I did call
with the money. But you're like, ooh.
You know who I did call is Miss Cleo. I did call Miss Cleo. Yes,
call me now.
I sure did call me now. I called Miss Cleo and I was on the phone because I was like, we were at a sleepover. I was literally like 8 years old, and you weren't allowed to be on these like talk lines if you were under 18, and they were trying to like, they're like, just tell them you're 18. Just tell them you're 18. Like they wouldn't have known that I had a tiny little 8-year-old
child's
voice.
Yeah.
But I panicked when they asked how old I was. And I said, I was like, just cut the difference. Like go a little older, but don't go all the way 18. Like don't blow your shot. So I said 14. And they were like, well, you can't be on this line anymore. And then they hung up on me and my friends were like, why didn't you say it? Like, why would you? I was like, I don't know.
Sorry.
I freaked out.
I buckled under the pressure.
I freaked out. And that's how I knew nobody should ever try and sell me a timeshare. I'm not built
that's
like
right.
that. Like,
that's
I
right.
can't handle it.
And lessons were learned that day is what we're saying.
That's right. I've taken right. them with me for my whole life. Anyway, 911 right. was called in 1989.
911. November 9th, 1989. 911 gets a call from Dino Paspalakis. There has been a home invasion and his sister, Lisa, has been shot. He heard the shot from another room and his brother-in-law, Costa, Costa had been sleeping with his wife in bed when the intruder came in and shot his wife in the head. Costa said he grabbed the gun, his gun, and shot the intruder multiple times, mortally wounding him. Lisa is rushed to the hospital, bullet in her head. Police assume this is a burglary gone wrong. But Lisa survives the shooting, thank God, and they identify the man as Brian Chase. He's an 18-year-old transient who has come to Daytona Beach. Brian had was actually familiar to Costa because in his business that he owns, they had used him in their bar to do some like cleaning. He'd done some like, you know, sweeping, taking out the trash type situation stuff. So he was like, oh, that's weird. I know this kid. Mm-hmm. Police, of course, find it strange, though. There's some like questions popping up. Like police find it strange that the door that had been disturbed where he had broken in was a sliding glass door. And it had like these kind of small rectangular window frames, you know, like there's like different, you mm-hmm. know, sets of windows, and they're kind of small. And it was like, basically for him to have broken this window, there was glass on the inside and on the outside. And they're like, for him to get in, it would have been really difficult. Also too, if this is where he came in, he passed by tons of valuable items before making it upstairs to the bedroom where he has to go to the opposite side of the bed to kill the wife. Like, why would somebody?
Very targeted. Also, yeah, you would kill the man first. Mm-hmm. If you were truly a burglar, you're going to eliminate the
perceived biggest threat.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, 100%. And all of that seems very... If you're a burglar, like, I feel like a lot of these crimes, I mean, it's not necessarily a violent crime, right? It's a crime of... For lack of a better word, like a crime of desperation, you're there to get stuff.
Sure.
So if you have
Why
made
would you
it,
do this?
Yeah, yeah, and you're downstairs, take all the fucking valuables, try and do that without
and
waking anybody up. Like, yeah, why would you go upstairs, pass all these valuables, and then go to the other side? It's very a targeted act.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all very questionable. So, but let me tell you a little bit about who these characters are in the story. Mm-hmm. So Konstantinos Costa, Fotopoulos, was born and raised in Greece.
This sounds so familiar to me.
It does.
Like it's ringing bell. It's like hitting things for me, but I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Okay. He was born in Greece. He moves to the States to go to college. This is where he ends up meeting Lisa Paspalakis.
You're
Greek
doing your best.
Very hard for me. I know. Mm-hmm. For somebody named Cassandra, this is actually very difficult. Lisa Paspalakis came from a well-known Daytona Beach family. Apparently, there's a really large Greek community in Daytona Beach. This is where Costa ends up, you know, kind of settling. And Lisa's family, also Greek, her father came to the States from Greece, amassed a large amount of wealth by business holdings, all kinds of things. They'd created buildings and businesses along the boardwalk in Daytona Beach. So this is, you know, big
so
money making.
Yeah. Raking it in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Shareholders.
Making good money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Shareholder meetings. Business. I do business things.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Lisa ends up going to school for accounting so she can join the family business and does end up working in the family business, working for multiple...
I can't hear accountant anymore without thinking about that TikTok song where they're like, if anyone asks you what you're doing, tell them you're an accountant. Have you ever heard that? Like
no.
A bunch of like sex workers started using it, or like actors who just didn't want to explain what they're doing, you know, don't want to ever to just like tell them you're an accountant because nobody asks
nobody
any
asks.
Questions.
Makes sense.
Like,
great.
I'm an accountant.
Really no one wants to talk about it. Just move on.
Oh. That's so good. I can't wait to tell somebody that my tattooed ass is an accountant.
You could be a tattooed accountant.
Yeah.
I literally can't wait to use this.
I'm not a regular accountant.
I'm a cool accountant.
I'm a cool.
That's funny.
But then somebody will ask me to do their taxes and I'll be like,
just tell them you're all booked up. I'm booked up. Can't do it.
Tight,
I recently calculated, I asked my tax lady how much, because I know how much she charges me for taxes. And I asked her how many people she saw a year, like during a tax season. And she told me, and I'm like, I did the math and I'm like, she's making like $200,000 every tax season.
Yeah.
Doing people's taxes. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's not even her. That's just one part of her job, you know? Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I know. That's wild.
Anyway,
she's an accountant.
Family business, boardwalk, accounting. Again, Casa and Lisa meet, you know, I don't think people would actually call it like a match made in heaven, but they're both Greek. I think that there is a lot of like influence for her to marry a Greek person. Mm-hmm. It's a very Greek community.
And there can be comfort together in a shared culture. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think also too, I think that her father was very, mm-hmm. I don't want to say insistent because that's not the impression, but it seemed as though that would
pressure.
Please.
Yeah,
for sure. It would be very pleasing if they had a nice Greek wedding and
a big fat Greek wedding, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the couple together, I mean, they're a powerhouse Greek family. You know what I mean? Like the two of them coming together, this is like, wow. You know, they brought out the ouzo, broke some
amazing
plates.
There you go.
Opa and such.
Opa. Exactly.
I hope we didn't just offend all of our Greek listeners.
Probably. I apologize very much. The powerhouse Greek family in the community now, they're just really, they're super well known. Everyone knows them. And the boardwalk is, you know, again, like this is like the family business. They're growing like this, you know, their own mm-hmm. part of the business
empire.
As well.
Amazing.
Exactly. The boardwalk empire, if you will. when Lisa's family father passed away, they decide to actually move into the family house to help kind of take care of the estate. This is an enormous house. So like, you know, it's a mm-hmm. big estate.
They're in separate wings, essentially. They're not like,
exactly.
They're not like running into each other all the time. You're not like waiting for the bathroom.
Yes, no one. I have a feeling no one waited for a bathroom there.
That's money.
That's goals. Yeah. Mm. You can have the whole family over and nobody has to wait for the bathroom. Goals.
Yeah. Like I said, the relationship is not necessarily described by friends as a quote love match. That was more of a, there weren't like open displays of affection with each other. And one person kind of said that it seemed more like of a cultural business match than anything. So again,
that works for some people if they're both truly on board with it.
I feel like that's like a very popular romance genre too. That like whole forced marriage
where they
thing,
fall
where
in
they,
love,
where they fall, in, yeah. they have to do it for, you know, the family business or something, but then they fall in love.
When
with
are we going to watch 2 weeks notice? Cause I feel like, or not 2 weeks notice. What is the one, the proposal?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's Sandra Bullock. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. So good. Costa and another local business man named Tony Calderoni. Tony Calderoni. opened a bar and pool hall on the boardwalk. They had an open space, and so he met with this local.
They are missing the trick if they didn't call that Tony Calderoni's. Because let me tell you, that sounds like a happening fucking joint.
You know what they called it? Top Shots.
Top Shots.
Grow
that
up.
Gives me such
drink
a,
tequila. That is a grow Jaeger up, drink bomb. Tequila.
That's a Jaeger bomb place.
Establishment, if I've ever heard one.
It is very specific.
Daytona Beach.
Daytona Beach.
Top Shots.
Top Shots.
Is this the movie Cocktail? Like, that is the energy you are putting out. It is. It's just like, this
how dare
is
you?
Like.
How dare you, know, you disrespect
I'm
Cocktail?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I disrespected your favorite movie of all time. I simply, like, you know exactly what those guys are like, though.
Yeah, I can smell.
No, you're
that
right.
Bar.
You can smell it.
You smell that bar.
Stale beer.
They're the kind of place that sells those tear off tab games.
Yes. Woof.
Okay, I'm so sorry to disparage Top Shots. I know nothing about it. Maybe it was a classic.
I think you're fine. I don't think you're too far off. We're on Daytona Beach, 1989, Boardwalk Bar. This is like one of the first boardwalk bars too, because Daytona Beach is a real family town at this time. It's a bunch of, you know, families coming there on like spring break, bringing their kids.
So they're trendsetters.
Yeah, they're on the front end.
Head of the curve.
They, We know exactly what it turned into because by the time I went to Daytona Beach, it was Top Shots.
Well, did you see, like, I think it was Daytona Beach. Like, they recently released, like, a PSA where they made it look like we're breaking up with you. That was the whole kind of premise of the did you see mm-hmm. this, Christina? Mm-hmm. That was the whole premise of it where, like, they have basically put laws in place this year to limit spring breakers.
Yeah.
Like, there's curfews. Yep. There's, like, public They're drinking done. Things. They are like, we are so tired of, like, outside tourists, like teenagers and college students coming in and just, like, wrecking shit. So, like, that is what Daytona Beach is now, where it's like spring break. Woohoo. You know,
yeah.
tops off. Girls gone wild. Yeah.
This is the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Top yeah. Shots.
Top Shots, yeah.
We can blame Top Shots entirely.
I will.
I do.
Feel comfortable.
And I do.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
should.
Yeah.
Tony Calderoni.
Top Shots and Hawaiian Tropic. Why is that so funny? You're done.
Yeah. Mm. And there's a lot of, like, really, it's 1989. I'm seeing, like, neon pink high on the hip bikinis.
Cut.
Like, really
yes.
high cut bikini bottoms.
Yeah. You're seeing bikini yeah. bottoms and, like, a high cut short.
Yeah,
Jort.
Yeah, definitely. Yep, and big and a lot of hairspray despite the fact that you're on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very tan.
You're going to fight that humidity the best you can. So, like I said, this is really the first of its kind. It's really kind of first come, first serve. Big, they go nuts. Like, this is the place gets huge over, like, literal overnight success.
They were waiting for it. I love that. Like, listen, that is my dream, is to, like, be ahead of the curve enough to be like, this is coming. Mm-hmm. We are going to be the first, because like Daytona Beach was, like, ready and waiting for somebody to do it. And Tony Calderoni saw that and was like, I got you. I got you, fam.
I got the Jaeger bomb.
Tony. Yes. I got the Jello shots. Let's go.
Oh, totally. Oh my God. There was a shot. If you can't tell me there wasn't a shot girl. You can't.
Oh, no. Definitely.
Yeah. I wouldn't believe you.
She did truly have the shortest shorts of all time on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doi. Yeah. And a bikini top. Yeah. So anyway, this new bar becomes, like, the hub for nighttime activity. The other thing that's kind of happening during this time is it's getting a lot of younger transient kids coming in. By kids, we mean, like, 18, 19, 20.
Sure.
Like, coming to, like, you know, people who've, you know, decided to come from wherever. They just want to start a new life. Daytona Beach is kind of looks like this beautiful, exciting place. It's sunny. It's warm.
Well,
Florida,
if I was going to do it, I'm going somewhere warm for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm going to a beach. Yeah.
100%. Like, what? I mean, even if I don't have a home, I have a beach.
Yeah. Yep.
So to them, Costa, the owner, he kind of became a bit of a legend. Like, these guys really ran the boardwalk, right? Mm. And he's got, like, rich man stories to tell. He's just, you know, and he's kind of gregarious. And so all of these kind of youngsters are, like, kind of enthralled with, like, this rich man who kind of is taking these people under his wing. He's like, yeah, come, you can, you know, clean, we'll throw you some money, you know, we'll take care of you. So in 1989, Deidre Hunt moves to Daytona. She's 20 years old. She comes from a really difficult family life in New Hampshire. Her mom had some issues with being bipolar. And so she was raised, you know, in a somewhat unstable home because of, you know, some of those situations, a lot of other really bad things that I won't mention at any rate. So by the time she's 20, she's like, I'm fucking out of here, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I'm moving to Daytona Beach. And so she gets there, but she's like down on her luck. She's like no money by
We've
the time she gets
there.
There.
Like relocate to a big city with just like $15 and a dream.
In Miami.
Yeah. So you sleep on a super glued and duct taped air mattress that
and
you have to refill
thoughts.
In the middle of the night every night. Yes. Yes. Positive energy.
Positive energy.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Deirdre. Oh no.
So she's looking for a job. She comes in the bar. Tony Calderoni is like, I like your energy, girl. She's like, I need a job. And he's like, I signed her up to be a server. And he goes, we increased our income 50% once she started because she had such a good like she was so good at her job. She was just, she was enticing. She had this kind of a charisma and people were attracted to her. She's fucking beautiful. Plus, you know, again, you know, she's a beautiful woman selling cocktails, you know, beach life, babe, you know. Yeah.
Again, you know, that is one thing I regret
tops and shorts.
Not having done in my early 20s is I'm like, I mean, I don't really regret anything because everything led me to where I am now. And I think that that's, it's good. But like, man, I thought about it for a while in my early 20s. I'm like, God, I should have gone into bartending.
Oh, because I'm like, geez,
if you go into bartending, you know, and you can chat people up and like fix yourself up every night, you can make bank.
Yep.
Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And she was. And I mean, but of course, too, she had just moved there. And so even though things are going really well, it's still, I mean, she got there with nothing. So they decided they're like, we'll put her up in a hotel. And Costa's like, you know what? I'll take care of this. I'll pay for her hotel. I'll take care of her. Costa's immediately smitten with Deidre.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful woman. She's vivacious. She's 20 years old.
Yeah. She's making him money.
Yeah.
She's making
like,
exactly.
She's getting
all
attention
the
from
things.
A lot of other people, which is something that men like this seem to care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also too, it kind of feels like from some of the stuff that I've seen, it seemed like she was willing to kind of like go out, do things and like go to places that maybe his wife wasn't necessarily interested in doing with him. You know, he was like, Mr. Smitten.
Dude, fucking men in their 40s or 50s that want to still like go to the club and stuff. Babes.
Sandoval, babes. I am seriously, I'm not over it because I realize I'm like a year behind, but I just watched it and I'm just like, that man is midlife crisis, the man.
Child.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I feel like a certain type of dude. Yeah, they do that. So, and I'm not saying the occasional,
no matter Camaro now.
No matter a bitch in Camaro, no matter what age you are, if you still want to go out and go dancing and have fun, fucking do that. But if you are clinging to it as like you need this as an identity, it is a red flag.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
it's just icky.
Unfortunately, when you were talking, Cassie, about like them taking all of these kids under their wing, I want to believe, and I do, like, I think in my heart of hearts, I think people are more good than they are bad. Unfortunately, we live in a world where I do also recognize, and because of the nature of this segment, I do recognize that like there are predatory people in the world, and I can't just look at that as an act of benevolence. Like I have to look at it as
he is her boss. She is financially helpless. Like,
and a lot of these
so
kids are
icks.
All of these kids who are coming in here, where it's like, of course they need a helping hand. I'm so glad that like someone would be willing to step in and give them a helping hand. However, in the back of my mind, there's always like, what do you want? Like, there are good people who just do good things to be kind, but sometimes that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't trust those people. I don't trust any of these people. Yeah. So not long though, after the shooting of Lisa, the police, so like going back to the wife and the shooting, she does make it, she does survive, you know, but again, they're still looking into it because they're like, yeah, we got the guy, ? You know, because he was shot and died. But like, it's like,
we still got some questions. Yeah.
We still got a few questions here, sir. So, but not long after the shooting of Lisa, I think like literally, I think it was like just a few days later the next week, police receive an anonymous call from a man claiming that he was approached by Deidre Hunt to shoot Lisa and thinks that she might be behind the shooting.
Deidre, we were rooting for you.
Police quickly pick up Deidre, and she starts to sing like a canary. She tells them that the relationship that she started with Costa had started out as friends, but very swiftly turned into an affair. That Costa had told her he wanted to spend wanted his wife dead so he could spend his life with her, so that they could get married.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Like,
stop.
Stop it. Stop it. You look stupid, first of all. And then, like, secondly, she's 20. Never trust a 20-year-old with a secret. Are you fucking serious?
Never.
Stop
Literally
it.
Never. He wants his wife dead because she has a large life insurance policy that will pay out to up to $700,000 in the case of a murder. So, I mean, she's telling the police all of this. By the way, they show, when I tell you they show the video, the way she talks about it, like,
it's nothing.
Like, it's tea, hot tea. Yeah. She's like,
no. It's not even like that. The way she's talking about it is like, so, and then I made myself a nice chicken patty for dinner, and then I cut it up, and then I put it on my salad, and then I dress my salad with the dressing that I like.
We don't need that. Vegan. We don't care.
It's Deidre. No, that's the level. That's the tone in which she's telling the story. Like, it's just, girl, it's unnerving.
That's weird. I wonder what that is psychologically that makes you like
some kind of weird ability to compartmentalize in a
like it's just another part of my day.
Yeah. But
like him telling me this is just another part of like what I did today. It's weird.
So then she also just nonchalantly decides to tell them that she also had French fries with her meal. During the interview, she tells them that, Costa and I also killed another man a couple weeks ago. His name's Mark Kevin Ramsey.
Just dropped that all cash? Yeah.
Yes. Girl, when I tell
French
you, they showed the fucking... No, she didn't talk about French fries or any of the food. I'm just telling you about how casually the conversation was. She is so fucking casual.
I have to say, I'm kind of like,
oh, by the way,
in awe of watching. Like, I will always watch a interrogation like that because I'm fascinated by the psychology of it. I'm like, what is going on in your brain that you're just like, yeah, and then like this happened and that happened, and like you must have done so much like mental gymnastics to separate yourself from how truly horrible what you're talking about is.
It's giving all of the trauma compartmentalization.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really hard to, it's really fucking hard to talk about this portion. And I'm just going to kind of give like a bit of a content warning here because it is really difficult. She talks so fucking nonchalantly. She's like, oh, by the way, we killed a man a couple weeks ago. His name's Mark Kevin Ramsey. So let me tell you a little bit about him. Kevin, 19, from North Carolina.
Oh, baby.
He worked for Costa.
Of course he did.
Top Shots.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, you can't trust. Sorry.
No, I'm just, this is fucking content warning. Deidre helps Costa lure Kevin. So she lures Kevin out to the woods by telling him they're part of some secret club and that if he wants to join, he has to do this initiation where they take him to the woods. They're going to tie him up to a tree and they're just going to shoot his feet to scare him. But if you can make it through, you're going to be part of this very special secret club.
So you took somebody who's like, first of all, he's a baby, he's 19, and already like you just want acceptance so much. And also your brain isn't
you left your house
and everything yet.
There's
you don't have a family. Like you are looking for a chosen family, found family. Like you're willing to do anything to try and get that, like get your tribe back or find them. Like that is so
sad.
So this is content warning. Deidre says that Costa pulls out a video camera and tells her to take the gun and shoot him. So they show the video footage because I'll tell you later, but they found the video. They show the video footage of her being filmed.
Girl, Costa is filming her doing this? Oh, that's...
You think he wanted to use that as, like, blackmail so that she wouldn't ever tell?
This is kind of the thing I think that is happening. However, they show the video up to... Obviously, they're not going to, like, snuff film show it all. But they show him pan over to the guy. And you can tell the guy's not really even scared. It's kind of like whatever.
Oh,
She just fucking point blank, nonchalant, right to the chest... Shoots him 3 times in the chest and once.
I couldn't watch that. I feel like that would give
me
fucking nightmares.
That part.
Yeah.
This police said that like they saw that video. They were like, it was the most fucking awful thing. The only reason I'm even telling you about it is because the way in which she acts during this video, it's like part of you is like, okay, was he manipulating her? Was he doing this? But the way that she's acting so nonchalant about this in this interview.
Why did they lure him out? Why did they kill him?
I don't know. There's no explanation as
probably
to why they did
probably just power
this.
And control because he could, and he knew that he could make her do it, which would make him even more, like, her even more indebted to him.
Mm. Exactly.
It creates this bond where, like, she can't ever leave him, and maybe that's why.
Right.
That's
maybe,
my suspicion.
Maybe, like, a folly adieu situation?
I think
well,
so,
and
because
she
here's...
owes so much to him, right? Like, I could see yeah. that. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what she's trying to act like. He did this to scare her, and then she was like scared not to do anything he said. But I'm like, she's not giving that energy.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's what I was saying is like, it's like she's, I can understand that he's trying to do this thing to control her, but she doesn't act like she's not a willing participant is what I'm trying to say. She's
right,
very.
And it can be complicated. Cause I do want to say that like, it can be complicated. There are power dynamics here at play that he is very obviously taking advantage of. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that he's the one with the, like, he's got a lot of age on her. He has, you know, he's holding all the cards really. I think multiple things can be true at once. I think like she could have willingly participated and also he could have been trying to manipulate her. I think both things could be true. You know?
Yeah. And this all, it's weird too, because this all happens very quickly. I feel like too, for Costa's part, he must have had been on some kind of power trip. He's
yeah.
got all these kids kind of at his, you know, puppet strings, just pulling all these, calling
all
the shots.
That is the vibe I get.
It's, yeah. So at any
That's
rate.
That's disgusting. That makes me so sad.
It's fucking awful. She does agree to show the police where the location of the body is. They do find the body exactly how she explained it. Police bring Costa in to talk to him about the accusations that Lisa had told them about. But of course, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Deny, deny, deny. He's like, I don't know anything about this. This is wild. These accusations are insane. I don't know her like that. That's not how it is. But a little bit of a backstory too, like, why did Costa like suddenly also this murder happen and then they're going to kill his wife? So what set off the trigger for that? On October 25th, Lisa actually gets a call and was told that Costa is having a relationship. So she's like, hey, Costa's having a relationship with our server, Deirdre. So friends assume that this is the thing that maybe triggered the beginning of all of this chaos. Mm-hmm. They're pretty certain that Lisa threatened to take everything in the separation. Her family's money, her family's reputation is really what brought all of this to play. Because Costa, yeah, I mean, he's Greek. It's not like he came from like a large wealth. Like, he came to this family. The family had the connections. The family was this kind of like large,
it
you know,
opened the doors.
Presence.
Yeah.
Right. So a divorce opened is not something doors. That he wants, because like the real connection is through her family. So if she dies, and especially if she dies in like this tragic way that keeps him bonded to the family and the family name, like that is the preferable outcome for him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's also too, so when she finds this out, she threatens to take everything. She's like, a separation. If you're cheating on me, we're done. So, as things start to sort of come out though, after she'd been shot, and again, all of these questions are coming to the surface, Lisa's like, hey, by the way, Costa's been acting really weird for the last month now that I'm thinking about it. And he's also been, messing around with this fire pit by the house. So the police are okay. So they pull a search warrant, and of course they search the home, and at this pit they discover two guns, one of which is a .22 with a silencer, which Deirdre
Costa
described.
Why
as,
you thought you could dispose of a gun in a fire pit, sir?
It's not even, and it's like in a bag. It's not even trying to be burned or
you
nothing.
Dummy.
It's just sitting in it. It's just the weirdest thing. Anyway, and in the garage is where they find the 8 millimeter video cassette of what Deirdre had told them was on it, which was the shooting of Kevin. It's fucking awful. It's absolutely the most awful thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Deirdre pleaded guilty in court, hoping, of course, that her by pleading guilty, she might be able to avoid the death penalty. She does not. She is sentenced to death
Florida.
By electric chair. Yeah. And then Costa, for his part, does plead not guilty, which doesn't really work. I think it took him like 5 hours, I think I saw, for them to come back with a guilty verdict, and as well as then he also, for the murders, was also convicted to death penalty. I don't believe, and I didn't see if they're both still in prison or where it lands now. I'm assuming they both are, but I hadn't seen if that happened. Is my
this
point.
Is so sad. Like yeah. It's just so sad for everyone senseless. Involved. Yeah, it's super
especially
senseless.
The kid. Yeah, where I'm like, what the fuck's the point of that?
Well, and all of these kids, I feel for them because it's just like you are in the most vulnerable situation as like a. And a lot of these kids, like you said, were probably trying to escape bad situations. And you find people who you think you can trust, who you think are trying to take care of you, who have your best interest at heart. And you just step, like, you know what, like out of the frying pan into the fire kind of
it's
situation.
Shadow walks.
Yeah. It's horrible. Like, it just makes me so sad. And then this poor woman, like, she had nothing to do with any of it. And she just happened to get involved with the wrong person, like ended up, you know, living with a wolf. That's yeah. awful. Yeah. So sad.
And it's incredibly sad. Thankfully, Lisa obviously survived, has gone on to remarry and all those things as well, which is phenomenal.
How do you recover? Like, I was thinking about that from the story I told last week where she was in that relationship with that guy who ended up being a serial rapist. Like,
when you
are violated in this way. And I realized, like, maybe this marriage she had to Costas was a marriage of, like, convenience and, like, all those things. But still, this is someone you trusted your life. You still trusted your life with this person. Mm-hmm. And you let them into your life in a really intimate way and into your family. And, like, mm-hmm. how do you ever again say, I'm going to do that? I have so much, like, respect and admiration. I'm, like, in awe of people who are capable of that, because I think my little Capricorn moon heart is like, shut it down, shut it down. Never again. Yeah. We're not doing this.
Yeah. No, I mean, for someone that did have to start over and it wasn't even like close to being as dramatic as this, it's just
still,
you just do, I guess. I don't know. It's just really difficult to describe, like, and yeah. I don't know. Yeah. The human existence, I Resilient. Think, is all about resilience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and on top of it too, like, you have not only the family who's outraged, but also to the community. I mean, this community was really, I mean, this is a family that was so important to the community. So then that also feels a bit like a betrayal, you know? Mm-hmm. So
hard. Ugh. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You know what? That's so weird because that story sounds, I feel like I must have heard it on Dateline.
There's another Dateline that I'm thinking of that I think is the same one that you're thinking of, where the guy kills the intruder that attempted to kill his wife. And it's not the story that Cassie told, but that's the crux of it, is like,
it was the guy is dead, connection but that got
was,
me.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. He was somebody that had worked in their household before. Oh, so, do you know which one
I remember
I'm talking
that.
About? That
yes,
yeah,
I know exactly which one you're talking about too. Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. I remember that one too.
But I don't know that I've actually heard this story because I don't remember all of the Daytona Beach connections and all of that stuff.
I do love people that consider themselves smart enough to engineer the perfect crime and how,
and then take video of it.
Yeah,
you
how
dummy.
Wrong they are
like,
it's just so stupid.
Can you imagine those police are like in the garage, like, I know this motherfucker did not Keith's yeah. video.
And labeled it probably. It probably said yeah. on the VHS.
Murder of.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Just ridiculous.
Awful.
But I mean, truly, fucking like, awful. So sad. Like, yeah. that is devastating. Like, 19, your whole life is ahead of you, and you're just trying to figure it out. Like, I moved to LA at 20, and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like, yeah. it was just yeah. like one thing to the next thing, trying to figure it out. And you just hope you make it out on the other side of that so that you can build something different. And this person didn't get the opportunity. And that's so sad.
Yeah. Mm. Well, what are you guys watching this week?
Well, other than Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Which truly, like, I just soldiered through. I soldiered through. And I will say this. Because I started the season being like, I don't understand the series being like, I don't understand why people are so mad at Tom Sandoval. Like all these people cheat on each other all the time. Then you get to it and you're like, oh, that's I totally it's like get that. It.
Yeah.
And then it. Also, I will say I'm not proud of this because it is reality TV. And I think it is an inherently predatory kind of like industry. Those episodes, like leading up to Scandoval and then that episode and then the reunions, some of the best pieces of reality TV I've ever seen in my whole life. Like yeah. very well produced. You can see why they were like nominated for Emmys, like yeah. very well produced. But wow. outside of that, because no one wants to hear me go on and on about something that's like a year old. I did go see Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, geez.
Which
I don't even know what this is.
It was fun. It's a horror movie. And it's about like basically like a late night TV show in the 70s and it's filmed like you're in the 70s and they bring on like one of the guests for the show is a woman who's written a book called Conversations with the Devil where she's with a little girl who had like escaped a satanic cult who like has a demon in her.
Nope.
And
nope.
so they're like, we're going to try and access the demon live on TV.
I wish you wouldn't. Yeah, not.
And it's silly. Like there's like very it's fun. I will say that it's a fun horror movie. I really enjoyed. It's not fun like it's supposed to be like slapsticky fun. It's campy yeah. a little bit in a way I liked. I enjoyed it.
It's giving Black Mirror that yes. one episode.
Yes,
vibes
Rasputin vibes. Yeah. Yes, it is. It's very like that kind of where it's to me as like a connoisseur of horror movies, and it might be different. Everybody has a different tolerance. It didn't scare me. It was more just like, this is kind of a fun like concept. Okay. So yeah, I recommend that. I think it's going
to
be on
Shudder. Cabin in the Woods was like that to me.
Yeah. Cabin in the Woods didn't scare me. It was like, but what yeah. a brilliant concept for a horror movie. Yeah.
Don't
you know?
Get you guys at all.
Sorry.
Like real life is so terrifying enough.
Oh no.
I don't like scary movies.
Yeah. Cassie doesn't like scary movies.
Just like, oh man, I hate that feeling.
But you would like Cabin in the Woods.
Right. Because it's not so scary. I think you could also do Late Night with the Devil. That's actually one I recommend for you and Eric.
I know. Eric would be so happy if I came home and said, I want to watch this. He'd be like,
on the other, I know he's
we'll do it right now.
And then he come out. Right away. Yeah. I would actually recommend that because I don't think you'll think it's scary. I mean, there's some body horror stuff to which point I would just say, just don't look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I am really looking forward to and will go see in theaters. The first Omen is coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I've
that
seen
looks
that.
Scary.
We had fun at
Smile.
The Sunset Five. That was so fun.
I will go with you to see the first Omen if you want with you and Eric.
Oh
I will
my
go
God.
With you.
We
and,
had a blast.
Chris would go with you, by the way, too.
And Chris. Yeah. And on top of that, I heard recently, big news. Nicole Kidman is recording a new AMC ad.
Oh, you know you have to go to WeHo.
We gotta go to WeHo
that.
To get the boys in on it. I love it.
Did you see Katya actually dressed up and did her own thing as Nicole Kidman?
I love it. I haven't seen that.
I live and I
how
love.
Do I see that? But I don't know anything about half the other shit.
That's
you guys
fucking amazing. I love that. But yeah, we'll do like a group trip to go see, and you can sit between Eric and I, and you can hold our hands. Because that one, I think, actually might get a little scary.
Yeah.
So.
Smile was scary.
Smile was fun.
Not interested.
Oh,
not interested. Not interested in Smile.
Well, no. I watched something that came out a while ago, and I thought maybe I'd watched it, but maybe I just watched the first episode. Well, Eric and I watched it through this week. It's called The Devil Next Door.
Oh.
And it's about a guy named John Demjanjuk.
I watched this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix.
I know what you're talking about.
And they think that he's Ivan the Terrible.
Yes.
And he goes on trial. He's like a fucking auto worker from
Ohio.
And
he maintains that he didn't do it.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Which right. side did you fall on?
Well, I fell on he's a fucking SS not
me
person.
Too. Yeah. Me too.
But not too. Ivan the Terrible. That's what I felt. Spoiler alert. Sorry. That's what I felt on it. But it was so good in the back and forth. Because every time I'd be like, oh, okay, it's for sure him. And then it'd turn around and then I'd be like, oh, nope, it's not him or whatever. It was just this huge back and forth.
I don't think that's a spoiler because I think you have to draw your own conclusion because we don't have a clear answer by the end of it. So I think watch it and like make your own conclusion about what you think. It's been so long since I've seen it, but I think I came to the same conclusion. Like he's, to me, allegedly, he's definitely a Nazi, but I don't know if I think that he's who they
Ivan
think
the
he
Terrible.
Is.
Yeah. Was so captivating, like back and forth to watch that. And it just made me think, like I was talking to Eric, I was like, this is the reason why I could never be on a jury trial. Because for me, I'm like, there is 100% always doubt.
Yeah,
who is 100% sure of anything?
Me, never.
Never.
I don't know the crime. Never. I just told you I'm 100% certain.
Okay, actually, okay, maybe.
Just Cassie.
Yeah.
Just
Cassie. That one. Sorry.
Just Cassie. Cassie and maybe just Lady Gaga. One. She gives me 100% vibes.
Yeah.
This crime, I mean, it was videotaped, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's
well, there you go. Yeah.
Yes,
well,
if you
now
are,
with AI.
Sure. Yeah. Well.
Did you hear? 1989. Apparently Getty Image did something shady where they actually were like, put a notation on the Kate Middleton video.
I heard that. We're back to square one,
what?
Folks. We're back to square one.
What?
No, I don't want to say
detected,
that. But
they've detected AI, I guess, in that video.
Yeah.
I
don't want to jump to conclusions.
I don't want to jump to conclusions either, but I'm just saying. I'm saying.
AI. We live in weird times.
I rewatched Bridgerton, all of them.
Yes. I'm so excited for season 3.
Cassie's like, shut the fuck up.
I don't want to be complicit. No,
no, I agree.
I can't wait for season 3. I will tell you, I still think that season 2 is the
hottest
season.
Yeah, oh,
hottest.
It's so fucking
However,
hot.
I don't remember it taking quite so long to get to the spice.
I love a slow burn.
Me too.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I could have handled it an episode sooner. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
But I will say, like, for me, the tension building is probably the hottest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And they were smoking hot together too.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Where is she
so
at?
Pretty.
She's so
pretty. I'm going to go back though to season 1 and say they had some really sexy connect.
They
like,
had
they
good
were
chemistry.
Really mm-hmm. good
they
chemistry.
They had really good. Well, they're good at that. That's the thing. If I have to be completely honest, that is the thing about season 3 that I'm most nervous about because both seasons, season 1 and 2, the leads had great chemistry for what it was. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the second trope being enemies to lovers, the first trope.
This one is going to be like friends to lovers.
Friends to lovers, and which is not my favorite trope to begin with.
Me too.
And then secondly, I haven't gotten that kind. I've gotten the pining energy from Penelope, but I haven't gotten like the sexy sex energy from them. Like I haven't gotten that chemistry yet. So I hope that Bridgerton is good at building that because I don't see it yet, but that doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah.
But I want the chemistry to be there.
Last episode, you get a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe I need
to rewatch.
It's him. He needs to like.
Yes.
He needs to. Because when he does, you're like.
Nicola. I want to read the books.
I heard the books are not as good.
Really?
Kelly Reynolds said that.
Oh, that's right.
And she's
I trust
expert.
Her. I trust
like
her.
Me too.
I love Nicola, then. Whatever her last name is, who plays Penelope. I follow her on Instagram. She is a doll. I fucking
love her.
So I'm really excited for her to have her moment in season 3.
I think that in the books, technically, I don't know that this is the next one in the books.
Oh, okay.
think that technically when I looked online because they knew what the people wanted without doing research all the way
like we want
around. I think there's technically it's the other sister who we barely fucking know.
No, I don't care about that. I want Penelope.
I think they have to because they haven't given us anything with her.
The other sister, the one that is mad at her, the best friend with Penelope?
No, I think it's the other Penelope sister. Penelope has a sister.
Who cares?
We don't care about that.
No. Not Penelope's sister. I'm sorry. It's the sister who was like in the first novel. I mean, like you guys probably won't even remember her. She was in like the beginning of like a few of the episodes in both seasons.
Oh, and so she's not the even piano. The fun sister. That's like no. That's
the rebellious,
like the rebellious one. The Joe stand-in.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's the other sister that no one really. We haven't really.
I don't know
anything about her.
You got to give me more about her if you want to give her her own storyline.
Yeah.
They're going to have to really bring her in this season and kind of like develop that character.
I do love that Bridgerton, like for the, for the romance novel girlies, Bridgerton really is giving us all the tropes. Like each season's a different trope, which
I love that. I'm saying just keep filming. I don't like to wait.
Me too.
We know that we want them all.
Come on, chop, chop. We can't have 2 years between each season.
Yeah.
Come on now.
No. I think there's the younger kids. They need those kids to grow up. Come of age, hurry up.
Well, if you guys have something that we should watch, if you have terrible date stories, if you just want to reach out and say hello, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers! Cheers.